Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about healthy holiday tips on the show today and how to make good nutrition choices with our guest, Beth Olsenbach. Beth is an associate professor and extension specialist in the Department of Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison. Always great to have her come by. And we're going to talk with her about healthy holidays and what would you like to know about eating better? What do you do to stay healthy during the holiday season? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Beth Olson, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I always love coming to talk with you.
Let's outline, maybe to start, some of the myths associated with the holidays and being healthy. Weight gain was one.
Yeah, it's a really common one. You'll see it kind of in the popular press or magazines saying we gain 5-10 pounds over the holidays. So researchers have actually looked at that. They often define the holidays starting near Thanksgiving, going through New Year's. But the best study that I've seen suggests that perhaps we might gain 1 pound. Of course, and I think, Larry, you and I have talked about this before, you know, as you get to be an adult, 1 pound a year for 20 or 30 years, you know, that could add up. But it's not the 5 pounds that we often talk about. The one caveat they noted in their work was those who tend to gain the most over the holidays are people who are already overweight or obese. So it could be that those people, if they're trying to maintain their weight, might need to pay a little bit more attention than some of the rest of us.
But we still have to enjoy those treats and traditions, don't we? How do you do that in a healthy way?
Yes. Well, you know, for some people, it's easy. I know people who just go and eat and, you know, no big deal, nothing happens. But for many of us, we just have to be a little bit more conscious. So we have to pick and choose. What things do I really want to eat? You know, what are in my family traditions or are my favorites? Or if I like everything, maybe when I'm going through the buffet line, I'm just taking a small portion of all of it. I don't know if this has happened to you, Larry, where you start out and you're halfway down the buffet line and you realize your plate is full.
So yes.
You realize you have to take a little bit less of everything to get to the end of the line and, you know, still have not an overflowing plate.
My daughter Emily is one of those people who could just eat the right amount every time. She doesn't overindulge on food, and you know, you can look at her and say, "Yeah, she's in great shape and is healthy." So, I, on the other hand, have more of a troubles with that sort of thing. Oh man. A lot of websites, I know if you look at the websites about losing weight or staying healthy, they suggest switching to light sour cream or sugar-free sweets. What do you think about food products that are meant to have less fat or sugar?
They can be a good tool. Unfortunately, for some people, they turn into a license, you know. So I have a little sour cream on something. Oh, it's light sour cream, you know, a little bit bigger dollop. And so the tendency is for us not to cut at least calories. We might be cutting fat or sugar, but not calories when we use those products. Alternatively, you know, if you are careful, they can be a useful tool. I know in my own cooking, in terms of things like different kinds of salads or mixed dishes that use something like sour cream, I've gone or mayonnaise. I've gone to using half of a light version. I've switched from sour cream to yogurt for part of a dish. Takes some experimenting to make sure it still, you know, has the same consistency and taste that you like. And I think that's a pretty easy way to cut some calories and even add some nutrition if you're using, you know, for instance, Greek yogurt without anybody, you know, hardly even noticing.
Yeah. I have an admission to make, and I'm going to do it on the air in front of thousands of people. On Thanksgiving Day, I decided that I was not going to eat breakfast because we have this great big Thanksgiving dinner coming. And then I went off to Grandma and Grandpa's place, and Grandma had about five delectable appetizers, which I then proceeded, because I was hungry, to eat. And we weren't eating the dinner until 3 o'clock. And by the time dinner came around, I was already full. And I then proceeded to eat anyway, because, of course, I didn't want to, I wanted to be polite, and I went ahead and ate. And then I felt like I was a balloon about to burst. This whole business of skipping breakfast, I do not think is a good idea.
Yes, and, you know, people sometimes do that, skip breakfast before the noon or afternoon meal, or skip dinner because they're going to a party where there's going to be appetizers and drinks. So what we would suggest is, first of all, people keep your routine. Now, not everybody eats breakfast, and not everybody eats it right away in the morning. And if that's your routine and you're healthy, you know, you're okay. But if you regularly eat these meals, go ahead and eat them so that you aren't over hungry. Also, so you don't compromise some of your nutrition that you might be getting from those meals. For instance, for me, breakfast is often a meal where I get some of my fiber. That's not always true in the appetizers. So I want to make sure to continue to get what I need and then not be over hungry and not compromise my nutrition later in the day.
Yeah.
I think this is especially true because we tend to start eating more. If we usually eat earlier in the day and we don't, we start to put those calories in late in the day. And those can include, like you were talking about, appetizers, snacks, alcohol. And so we want to be careful that we're not just pushing a whole bunch of calories into the end of the day, and those calories aren't the best calories.
Well, and then you think about alcohol. If you're going to a party, you do not want to go to that party on an empty stomach if the first thing you're going to have thrust at you is a glass of wine or a bottle of beer.
Oh, certainly. And that's happened to me where, you know, I have that drink and I think, whoa, I should have been eating something first. And also for some people, as they drink alcohol, they begin to consume more calories and encourages calorie consumption. So one strategy I know I've tried to use is to use water. So have a glass of water first, then my glass of wine, have another glass of water, slows me up, fills my stomach a little bit, prevents dehydration we can get from drinking a lot of alcohol. So that's a strategy people could give a try.
Beth Olson, our guest today, associate professor and extension specialist in the Department of Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison. Great to have her with us as we talk healthy holidays for you and for me. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or with your experiences. What would you maybe like to know about eating better? Or what do you do to stay healthy during the holiday season? You can give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. You know, thinking about this, I'm sure for some people it's going to be the first time they are in a big family gathering in probably 2 years, I'm guessing here. What are some ways we can help avoid getting sick during the holiday season?
Yeah, so there's lots of things to do. Of course, the public health officials have talked to us about the things that they would like us to be doing right now due to COVID. So that's a separate issue. For nutrition, I think we want to go into those gatherings well. So what I have been saying lately, getting to be maybe my catchphrase, is, you know, with nutrition, we're playing the long game. If you do come into contact with someone with a cold or a flu at your family gathering and your health is compromised, your nutrition isn't good, you know, it's a little bit late. You really want to go in healthy. So eating, you know, whole foods, a wide variety of foods, fruits, vegetables, fiber that feeds your gut, all these things that you know, get your immune system, which is like any other system in our body. It needs all kinds of different nutrients to be healthy. Get that strong. Be a little more resistant, perhaps, to getting a bug, a flu, or a cold. Or if you get it, be better at fighting it off. Of course, then there's the hand washing. You know, if you're sick, stay home. If you're sick, be careful about handling other people's food or serving other people food. You know, maybe stay out of the buffet line if you feel a sniffle coming on. Have someone else get your food for you. Just try not to be spreading your germs around if you're feeling a little bit sick.
I see some of the buffet lines now at restaurants, they, rather than you put the food on yourself on the plate, they are having people there to put the food on, so you're not handling other, you're not handling the same ladle or whatever that everybody else has handled.
Yes, a great idea. If you're eating out, take a look at some of those things. Where are the places you might be picking up germs like colds and flus that you could avoid? Or, you know, for someone else in your family, my mother's older, you know, maybe there's some things I do for her so that she's not as exposed as others in our family.
Yeah. New Year's resolutions. I made one last year and I actually kept it, which was
wonderful. Are you going to share what it was?
Yeah, it had to do with an app, Map My Run, which has this you versus the year, where you're supposed to, in a year, run, I think it's 1,100 kilometers. What's that, about 900 miles? Walk,
yeah,
or run. And so I said, well, I'm going to do that. And I thought, you know, I'm going to start right on the first day. So I started on New Year's Day, and I broke it by middle of August.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
So that's that's another resolution for this year. I haven't thought of other ones yet. But you have some tips for keeping a New Year's resolution. Maybe you could talk about those a bit.
Yeah. And, you know, mine will be more about nutrition, but, you know, maybe also physical activity, but they might apply to other resolutions. So there's a few things. One is you talked about, you know, putting a time frame on it. Now, one of the dangers we can have with a time frame is saying, next year I'll do this. Well, that kind of makes it easy to, you know, say, well, next week I'll start, next month I'll start. So maybe you do say, starting January 1, I'm going to do this. Or in my first week, I'm going to do this thing. And then in my second week. So it makes us a little more accountable on time. It gives us a shorter time frame to see some success. So you achieve it. Or if you have a little failure to say, okay, I didn't walk as much the first week, but I walked. So, you know, week two, I'm going to walk more. The other thing would be to pick small goals along our way. So instead of saying, you know, I'm going to walk 1,000 miles this year, say, you know what, I'm going to start with a half a mile, you know, this week, and a mile the next week, and then build up. The same would hold for nutrition. You know, instead of saying, I'm going to eat healthier, which is pretty vague,
yeah,
say, what are the things I look at in my diet and realize I don't do well? Maybe I just don't eat many vegetables. So I'm just going to start with picking a new one at the store this week, or something like that. So I think those short-term, actionable, time-limited. The other would be, you know, you mentioned an app or social support, things that help you be accountable, but also maybe give you help from something, whether it's a thing like an app or it's other people, where, you know, you feel a sense of community or accountability for what you're doing.
Yeah, I was thinking about that app again, too. One of the nice things about that app is that it has stages so that you, all right, you get a little badge for your first time. Then you get another badge after 200 kilometers or whatever, and it just goes down the line, and you can see those badges building throughout. And I imagine there must be some nutrition kind of related things like that in apps.
Yeah, there are apps where you can set goals, where you can participate with groups on achieving something and you get some kudos for doing so. And, you know, there are still those health clubs do some of those things. Decades ago at a job I had in a company, there was a goal over the holidays of not gaining weight. And, you know, you got a T-shirt at the end of it. And I did it. I mean, it was a T-shirt. But, you know, it was just like, wow, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. It's a neat looking T-shirt. And it really worked.
Beth Olson, our guest today, associate professor and extension specialist as well in the Department of Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison. Love to hear your tips. What do you do to stay healthy during the holiday season? Or do you have some questions about eating better or healthy eating? I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Mackenzie Crummy, our producer today. Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller with Beth Olson. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network as we take a look at healthy holiday eating. During the next month or so are going to be pretty active. You're going to be doing a lot of partying, perhaps. You're going to be meeting with family and friends over meals. Beth Olson, our guest today from the Department of Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison. She specializes in nutrition education and healthy infant feeding as well. Maybe we could even get into that. Join us at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Becky in Houstonsford. Becky, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi there, and thank you for taking my call. I'm not a young person, shall we say, and I'm not a thin person, but it finally dawned on me to use some of my bad habits to my own best purposes, and that I tend to be a procrastinator. So if I go someplace, I find that if I procrastinate, I'm just going to talk to one more person. I can always go up and get cookies in just a little while. I'll have one more conversation. Sometimes I can keep putting it off long enough that either all the good stuff is gone or I don't go up there at all. I'm not feeling deprived. I'm just putting it off.
And using your good social skills, Becky, your talking skills. Well, what do you think, Beth?
I think whatever strategy works for you. And of course, that's a good one because, you know, you're talking to people and enjoying people. And that's probably more about what our gatherings are about than eating. So I think anything like that is wonderful. You just want to be careful that you don't procrastinate enough that you're hungry, that you're driving home and going through the drive-thru or something like that. You want to make sure whatever nutrition you do need, you did go ahead and get. But yeah, I think that's a great strategy.
Thanks, Becky. Appreciate it very much. Again, you can join us 800-642-1234. Colleen from Cumberland emailed, wants to know about intermittent fasting. She wanted to lower her blood sugar and started intermittent fasting. She went down 2 pan sizes by fasting for 18 to 20 hours a day. What are your thoughts on intermittent fasting?
Oh, boy. Okay. So the first thing I'll say is, you know, I'm not a doctor or a registered dietitian, and they deal more with weight loss. So I don't want to prescribe any kind of weight loss program. That wouldn't be my place. I think there are many types of intermittent fasting, and many of them are simply restricting the amount of time during the day that you eat. And for some of them, they may be a good thing. You know, we often heard this not called intermittent fasting, but we'd say, you know, after you eat dinner, you know, just don't keep eating until midnight, or, you know, and things like that. I haven't been a huge fan for most, I would say, healthy adults on some of the programs which say you shouldn't eat breakfast, for instance, because a lot of healthy people are breakfast eaters and they get a lot of nutrition for breakfast. I think if you want to do something like this, you just want to make sure you talk to your doctor, make sure this isn't going to cause any problems for you, for any medication you might be taking. I think maybe where it helps the most is people that already have some disturbance in their metabolism. So they have a disease of some type, which is disturbing their metabolism, and they aren't handling their nutrients well, particularly carbohydrate and the insulin we need to deal with that. And the fasting is helping, different kinds of fasting may help with that by regulating how often your body is seeing carbohydrates. So it may be a subset of people for whom it's effective. I don't know for the general population. I would want to be, you know, cautious that you just make sure you're talking to your doctor, you're doing it for the right reason. But, you know, if it helps with weight loss and you keep your nutrition up, that's, you know, definitely going to have health benefits for you.
Yeah, I would certainly think so. As I was reading that, it reminded me about diets and fad diets. You see, you know, they start to pop up this time of the year. What are some red flags for unhealthy diets?
Well, I think a big red flag is when it takes big groups of foods and tells you you can't have any of them. Now, I'm not saying, you know, a diet that says you want to be careful, don't eat any cookies. I'm saying diets that say, you know, you can't have fruit or you can't have all these vegetables. I don't think those in the long run have proven to be very effective. Almost any of these diets tend to work, especially the first time people do them, because they make people think about what they eat. They start taking calories out of their diet, so they lose weight. Many of them by 6 months have gained that weight back. By a year, they've definitely gained it back because they took out healthy groups of foods or foods we eat every day or foods we need for nutrition. People couldn't keep them up. And so I think if you're going to do one, again, talk to your doctor, make sure it's balanced, make sure you aren't eliminating whole foods that have fiber, which is really good for helping us with our weight, I think, and be careful about how long you do it. Maybe it helps you get a few pounds off, you know, and you get going and then you can move to a healthier kind of diet. But there's a reason they're called fads. You know, if they really worked, they'd stay around and we would all lose weight and keep it off. You know, they kind of come and go. And I think one of the things I've noticed when I've looked at them is over 20 years or 30 years, some of them are the same diets. They're just coming around with a new name, a new kind of gimmick to them. But when I look at them, they're really kind of the same thing being repackaged. So you just want to be careful you aren't just picking up one that, you know, hasn't worked in the past, but now it has a new attractive name on it.
You know, I kind of like carbohydrates, but, you know, a lot of time you hear, oh, you cut the carbs out completely, if at all possible. And I just can't go along with that. What's the role of carbohydrates and how should we look at them in terms of a healthy diet?
So what we are talking about more and more and more is the quality of the foods and the nutrients, the quality of the protein, the quality of the fat, the quality of the carbohydrates. So I think actually many of these fad diets, which said I'm low carb or I'm high protein or I'm high fat diet, are taking out carbohydrates, but perhaps taking out those which aren't as good a quality, which might not be a bad thing. So taking out refined carbohydrates, white bread, white rice, carbohydrates that would be in snack foods, cookies, desserts, pies, that kind of thing, which is also going to take some fat out of your diet. And what we would like is for you to replace those with good quality carbohydrates. Once again, beating my drum, whole foods, brown rice, not in great quantity, but brown rice, whole wheat bread, an apple instead of the cookie at the snack. So I think that's when people are saying, you know, carbs are bad, I don't think as a blanket statement that's correct, but I do think we should really be thinking about the quality of the carbs that we're eating.
Yeah. And I'm a kind of a guy who likes desserts, to be perfect. I like something a little sweet at the end of the meal, and I've often thought, oh, how do I do a better job with this? And sometimes I'll take fruit, three or four fruits, maybe an apple, some grapes, and maybe if there's strawberries in season or whatever, or blueberries, which I pretty much always have available in my refrigerator. And then I might mix a little sour cream or something like that in with it. And then I've got a couple of days of what I can, that for me is a kind of a nice dessert.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think fruit is, you know, a wonderful idea. It's sweet. But, you know, all the ones you mentioned mixing together, all those colors, every color is probably a couple, three different antioxidants. So you're kind of heart disease and cancer fighting at the same time. I've done the same, particularly after the holidays, where sometimes we have whipped cream left, which we don't usually have in our house. And I'll do that fruit salad and just a little whipped cream on the top. So, you know, it's very dessertish, but I think, you know, probably better than the cookies. The leftover Christmas cookies.
Or sometimes I'll just take a little cup of yogurt that I always try to have yogurt. And that to me is kind of dessert-ish. It's like a little pudding or something at the end.
Yes, yes. There's all kinds of things that people might find are filling their sweet tooth, but are a little more healthy than those that provide a lot of sugar and saturated fat.
So we have quite some emails here. Elaine wonders, what are the effects of excess holiday sugar on the immune system?
Yeah, I haven't seen any study on that. I think one of the problems in studying it is
how do you do it
in isolation? Yeah. So if you have more sugar, maybe you had less fiber. Maybe you had more sugar and you had less fruits and vegetables, which have other nutrients. So it's really hard to separate the effects of. Is something you ate causing a problem, or is it causing it because you displaced some things you should have been eating? I haven't seen anything. I have seen a little bit in the popular press, but I haven't seen any good studies saying that sugar does anything in isolation from the rest of your diet. And you have to remember that sugars, we often will now distinguish added. So it's something like put in a cookie, from naturally occurring. And fruits and vegetables and yogurt and milk and other foods like that, they all have sugar too. So the sugar itself there isn't causing a problem. We don't think those foods are associated with good outcomes. So it's unlikely it's just the sugar. It's probably what we like to say, the company it keeps. Is it keeping really good company over there in the fruit, or not so good company over there in the cookie?
I like the way you characterize that. Sarah in Milwaukee wonders about the keto diet. She knows people who are on that diet and wonders if that's really a healthy diet.
Okay, so that'll get my same caveat. I'm not a registered dietitian or a doctor, so you want to be careful when you go on a diet like that you talk to your doctor. There's definitions of what a keto diet is. The popular press or books might be different from what's really therapeutic. It's been used for treatment of people that haven't done well with other treatments who have epilepsy. So, it was done for a very specific purpose. I have talked to a dietitian who said, even for those people, it's a very, very, very high fat diet and difficult to do. That even those people benefiting from it will rotate off, because it's a pretty hard diet to do. So most of the popular press ones aren't really that. They're something different. They're generally just higher fat, lower carb diets, back to this idea of taking out carbohydrates because maybe you're having troubles. So I think, again, you need to talk to your doctor. And if you are one of those people, and there are other ways for them to measure that, other tests they can do, having trouble managing carbohydrate in your body, a diet with less carbohydrate and more fat may be helpful. So I think it's just something you need to talk to your doctor and see whether it's actually right for you. Not something I go out and tell the general population to do.
Some more emails. You can join in too if you have a question or comment. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's see. Nancy in Waterford emailed and asked what would be a good, healthy, lower-calorie breakfast to eat when knowing you're going to a holiday party and want to kind of save your calories for later in the day?
Yeah, I think one thing would be to try to maybe pick a breakfast that'll make you feel fuller longer. So breakfasts that have fiber in are going to do that. I think oatmeal is one. I think breakfasts that are a little higher in protein can help with that as well. So something like an egg. So maybe an egg and a bit of yogurt, or, eggs really got a bad rap there for a while, but I think they're a great source of protein. I think one egg maybe it's 80 calories. I might be misspeaking, but I mean, it's not a very high calorie breakfast, but it does, protein can make you feel fuller a little longer. So not just the calories, but the quality. Get a nice quality protein in there, a food that has more fiber, something like oatmeal. I'll use, on yogurt, I use a high fiber cereal. So I get the protein in the yogurt, satiating, but I also get the fiber, which helps us kind of slow down digestion, keep us fuller a little bit longer. So I think those are a couple places to look at to start.
Yeah, I often do that as well. I kind of like yogurt and some cereal together. In my mind, they go pretty well. Levi in Johnson Creek. Let's go to you. Hi.
Hey, Larry.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I was just saying that I just recently switched to a traditional Japanese diet, and my body feels a lot better. I have a lot more energy in my day-to-day. I was just wondering if that was really that much healthier than people claim, if there's any truth to that.
And what's kind of basically what is the Japanese diet that you're doing, Levi?
I generally do like a bowl of rice, some protein, either chicken or fish or seafood, and miso soup is another thing that's a staple to most of my meals now, and then some kind of vegetable or fruit.
Huh. Okay. Well, thanks for calling. What do you think, Beth?
I mean, that sounds like, you know, a fairly well-balanced meal. He's got protein. He's got some whole fruits or vegetables, which are, you know, full of nutrients and fiber, carbohydrate with the rice. Personally, for me, if it could be brown rice instead of white, I would go that direction. This is, again, my drum beating, because my background years ago was in dietary fiber, which is Americans eat perhaps half the fiber that's recommended in our diets. So, boy, if there's another way to get it in. And with people so concerned with things like weight, their immune function, a big role of our GI tract is in keeping our entire body healthy. People don't, you know, people think we digest our food and absorb it. Actually, it has a role in our immune system. It has a role in how much we eat. And we can keep it healthy by putting a lot of dietary fiber in.
So tell me what kinds of fiber? You mentioned brown rice, but let's talk about some of the fibers that people really ought to be including.
So just like every other food, you want to have as wide variety as you can. Certainly fruits and vegetables are good. Then when you look at your grains, look at the whole grains. So brown rice instead of white, wild rice would be a neat addition if you don't use that. The whole wheat bread, let's see. I think one could look at some unusual grains. You know, I mentioned oatmeal for breakfast, but there's also things like quinoa. I also think you can look a little bit at things like seeds and nuts if you're talking about snacks. You want to be careful with nuts. They do, you know, they're a little higher in fat, healthier fats, but you want to make sure not to overeat. But those might be a little bit more unusual and things you could use to enhance other meals and add a little fiber. So, you know, sprinkling it over your salad or dried fruit over your oatmeal. So ways to kind of add it into other things that you're already eating would be another thing to look at to add some fiber.
Dale in Superior emailed and said he's a vegetarian and concerned about getting enough vitamin B12. What types of food could he eat to increase vitamin B12 intake?
It's an animal product, so you really have to look at getting it from either a supplement or fortification. So yeah, vegetarians do have to watch for B12. Something to do is to look at if you're eating bread and you're eating cereal, just look on the side of the package and see that it's fortified with B12. And we universally fortify with B12. So I think that if he watches the side panel of any processed foods that he's eating, to look if they're fortified with B12. And then if he's still worried, you know, you could look at a supplement. One of the groups that have problems with B12 are older adults. So I don't know how old your caller is, but as he gets older, he's still vegetarian, that might kind of be a double whammy he needs to watch. And so older adults often are recommended to make sure they're either taking a supplement or using fortified foods. They just aren't absorbing B12 well out of animal foods.
So what do you think about a one-a-day type you know, especially for folks who are getting up there a little bit in years?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm not very good at taking supplements. They tend to bother my stomach if I don't eat them with food. And so I always have to remember to eat them when I'm eating food. And I don't always. I mentioned this to my doctor because I actually want to try to make sure I have enough D, vitamin D, as I get older, because I'm not in the sun enough. And here in Wisconsin in the winter, we aren't in the sun enough to get vitamin D from the sun. So I mentioned the multivitamin and she said, well, you know, don't worry about that. So I could see my doctor doesn't think that it's very important. I think a standard multivitamin will be fine because the amounts of the nutrients in it aren't going to be so great that they're going to cause a problem. We'd, of course, prefer people get their nutrients from food because there's all kinds of things in that food that aren't in a pill. But if you feel like, I just feel like I can't get enough of this, a multivitamin certainly won't hurt. Again, mention to your doctor that you're taking it. I would say be careful and talk to your doctor again if you're doing it, about taking one with very high levels of certain nutrients in it or taking single high levels. We actually have some mechanisms in our gut that absorb a few of our nutrients. So if you get a really high level of one, it outcompetes the other. So you want to be careful about taking one in a high level and then it outcompetes another. Or if you take any kind of medication, some high levels of some nutrients could interfere with those medications. So you want to be real careful about that. The other thing is just cost. You know, if you can afford a multivitamin, great. But, you know, it's not one where if you're having trouble, you know, with enough money to buy good food, that you should spend your money on that multivitamin. I don't think it's probably that important.
And finally, Philomena wondered about if you had a thought about the book, The Obesity Code, Unlocking the Secrets of Weight Loss. It talks about, I guess it's kind of against the food pyramid, is not a way to achieve a healthy weight. Have you seen that book?
I have not seen the book, so I'm not sure what it's promoting. If it's mentioning the food pyramid, I don't know if it is, then it's older, or that concept's older, because we don't have a food pyramid anymore. We haven't had one for quite some time. We moved to My Plate, which was really about fruits and vegetables and whole grains, you know, being more careful with our animal products that we aren't getting too much. So I'm not sure what it's promoting. I would say in looking at the new dietary guidelines and the dietary recommendations over time, because they aren't always completely reflected in the dietary guidelines. One of the things we started to talk about is could we shift from some animal products to more plant products? Not saying people need to be vegetarian or vegan or anything like that, but we get a lot of our protein from animal products. Could we be adding in some plants to get some of our protein? Could we be doing a wider variety of plants and a wider variety of proteins that might have good health effects? So it's possible the book, I don't know, I haven't seen it, is talking about our processed food system and kind of our traditional eating and shifting more to whole foods and a wider variety across all of our categories if we can. I tell people within any category, the widest variety you can get, there's a wide enough variety, I think, to get things you like. I've told people, if you don't like Brussels sprouts, for goodness sakes, don't eat them. There's lots of green leafy vegetables you can pick from. We really do have a large variety to pick from that we can be healthy without, you know, eating something we don't like.
Well, I like Brussels sprouts.
Me too. It took me years of my mom making me eat them before.
Beth, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Beth Olson.
Have a good holiday.
To you as well. Thank you. Beth's an associate professor and extension specialist in the Department of Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison. Always kind of fun to have her come by. And always kind of fun as well to have our next guest come by, Mike Beno of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Next, I'm Larry Mealer. You're listening to the Ideas Network.